Good morning. The reading today is from Ezekiel 22, verses 23 to 31. Again the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has not been cleansed or rained on in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane many holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and laying divinations. They say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy, and ill-treat the foreigner, denying them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I find no one, so I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. It's not unusual to hear in the Davis household, there's no more peanut butter. Ah, you better put it on the list. How about orange juice and Marmite? No, you better put that on the list. What about dog treats? Look in the box. Yeah, they better go on the list as well. Now, this little insight into the domestic bliss of the Davis household illustrates, perhaps, what our intercessory prayer life... Sorry, I've just lost my glasses. I don't know where they are. And they're here. Good. Moment of panic. Now, this shows you, perhaps, what our prayer life, our intercessory prayer life, might look like. And often, I confess... That's what it is. I've got a little list. I've got them on a list. And some of you who know Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado will recognise that this is the Lord High Executioner's patter song. None of them will be missed. I've got them on a list. And our lists, our intercessory prayer life, are like lists. Who's on the list today? Oh, it's the Latin Link short-term coordinators meeting in Reading. Oh, we'll put them on the list. Now, that's a real version of domestic bliss in the Davis household. But as I was studying for this, and I spent the week in Switzerland, and most of this was done in a cafe that had internet access, most of my preparation has been done there, and it's been a journey for me. And I've got to confess that, like David, I feel totally unqualified because... too much of my prayer life is like a list. And so if you're hoping that I will answer the questions that are written on the notice sheet, I think you're going to be disappointed because I've made a long journey this week about intercessory prayer. What is it? And we've just heard Ezekiel 22, an intercessor. I was looking for somebody to build up the wall, to stand in the gap, and basically God's saying, and stop me destroying these wicked people who were doing all those awful things that were described in that passage. Oppressing the poor, oppressing the foreigner, divination, giving prophecies that weren't true. They were disgracing the name of the Lord. They, in the older version, it says, you are profaning my name among the nations. You are making my name ordinary. God's kingdom was not being established in Israel. Therefore, God wanted to change things. And he was looking for somebody to be an intercessor, to stand in the gap, to be a go-between, to actually engage with God. And in the Old Testament, we've got many examples of this. We've got the Ezekiel passage, of course, Genesis 18. Do you remember when Abraham negotiates with God, gets him down from 50 righteous people, you won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, to 10, to 5. It was a bit of a shame he stopped at 5, really. He could have gotten down to 1 and still had problems. Tonight we'll hear about Moses, who was also standing in the gap, standing between God and sinners. They were engaging with God in almost a negotiation. Now, when you think about that, God is the judge. How can we negotiate with the judge? But God wants us to be the go-between so that his kingdom can be established and his people live as they should. Therefore, it is an intense engagement in relating to God. It is not going to God with a list. Frankly, if I knew his email, it would spend a lot of time and I'll just write them all down and send them off and wait for the answer. Will it be yes? Will it be no? Will it be wait? Classically, that we hear. No, but intercession in the Bible is far more than this. It is engaging in a relationship with God. It is almost wrestling with God. There was phrases that used a few decades ago, wrestling with God in prayer. And I haven't heard that, but I think we've lost something because we end up with our little lists and we've got them on a list. And we list all our requirements that God should respond to if he loves us. But this is not true intercession. As I've gone through this week, I've recognized that my intercessory prayer life is poor. I'm not speaking to you from a position of authority or a position of somebody who knows. It's somebody on a journey. I am wrestling with this. So, what's our motive? Well, first of all, we are told to. In 1 Timothy 2:1, God says to, Paul says to Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, etc. So Paul is commanding Timothy to pray, to stand there in the gap, to pray for kings. And believe me, the kings in Timothy and Paul's day were not righteous kings. They were people like Caesar. They weren't good people, but God says, intercede for them, pray for them. And we need to be engaging with God for our leaders so that his kingdom will be established. This week I was at an Oak Hall holiday. That's why I was in Switzerland. I wasn't actually on holiday. I was working, I assure you. I had one go at skiing for 5 minutes. My knee twisted and that was it for the whole week. So I was working and I was also giving talks. And I gave the talks on Philippians. And it just occurred to me that when Paul prays for the Philippians in Philippians 1, in Philippians 1, 7 and 8, he gives the reasons why he is praying for them. And it occurred to me that this was a very good set of reasons. He says, it is right for me to feel like this because you are in my heart. And heart, for ancient peoples in Greek, the heart isn't where you feel. It's where your inner being is, your will. Your mind and your feelings together create your will. And Paul says, I have you in my heart. That's why I pray for you. It's an intensity that Paul has, an intense love. He said, you share in God's heart. So I have you in my heart. We are in God's heart. We are of the same family. We love God together. And Paul says, I have an affection for you. And he says, I love you with the affection of Christ. It says, literally, I love you in the bowels of Christ. It's the inner being. It's an intensity. And this is why I'm saying this intense relationship with God in intercession. We're most of us here are British, some of us are not British, but we British kind of like to say, Lord our God, Father, we pray that you would, thouest, do something for me if you don't mind, if it was not too difficult or inconvenient for you. No, intercession, remember these are Hebrews, these are crying out to God, shouting out, weeping. Have you ever seen an Arab mother cry over her dead son? You've seen it on TV quite regularly, haven't you? This is the intense relationship, grabbing onto God. I always go back to Jacob, who's wrestling with this weird fella at the Jabbok River. Do you remember that, where he gets his hip displaced? And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And it's that intensity of relationship with God that motivates us. So what do we pray? I thought we'd go back, we won't spend long on this, but to the Lord's Prayer. The first two things, that God's kingdom, that God will be glorified, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap to save him from destroying Israel, because Israel were not establishing the kingdom of God. This is the very basis of our intercessory prayer, which is God's glory and his kingdom. That's why we pray. I'm sorry to disturb you if you believe that you can twist God's arm to get you to bless Auntie Ethel. It's not. It's that God's glory will be seen and his kingdom will come. That's why we intercede on behalf of others. Because it's this intensity that God has in his heart for the vulnerable, for the poor, for the outsider, for the foreigner, for the refugee. That's why we pray. And David quoted a couple of times from Philippians 2. You know, God's love for us comes from his very being. It is because he was in the nature of God that he didn't count equality with God something to be grasped onto. That's the God, the intensity of love that God has. And then all those other things, daily provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. All of these are requests in order that God's glory will be seen and his kingdom will come. So that is the reason for our intercession. That his glory will be seen and his kingdom will come. And during this week, as I sat in my lovely warm cafe in Champéry in Switzerland and looked out on the snowy mountains, I'll try and make you feel jealous. I decided to look up Paul's prayers. And I went through all of Paul's prayers. I'm sorry this might be, there's a lot of writing on this, but I've highlighted the bits where Paul, what he's praying for the different churches. So Ephesians 1, you can see the highlighted the emboldened and italics, that he prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope that is yours. He doesn't pray for the Ephesians that they'll be rescued from the silversmiths. And Paul had problems with the silversmiths in Ephesus when they chanted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians," for a couple of hours. He prays that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. He, again, prays for the Ephesians that you may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Again, he's not praying for their safety, he's praying for their deepening relationship with God in order that they may act in a way that will demonstrate the glory of God and bring his kingdom upon this earth. That's why he's interceding. He's interceding that they may live in a way that will bring glory to God. Not that they may be comfortable. Philippians. This is where it all started. When I preached on this on Monday in Switzerland, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, that you may be able to discern what is best. This is the Philippians. Remember Acts 16, the Philippians. The Philippian jailer and his family, Lydia and her family. The slave girl, that was the church. It probably grew after that. But very, very weak, very, very vulnerable. In Philippi, a Roman colony where Paul had been beaten up and put in jail. He doesn't pray for their safety. He prays that their love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight to be able to discern what is right, what is best. So that they will be able to act in such a way as to glorify God. Colossians, that he will fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Similar to the Ephesians one, not surprisingly. And in Thessalonians, that he will make you worthy of his calling and that by the power he may bring to fruition your desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. This especially caught my eye because it said, bring to fruition every desire. And I thought, oh, at last we got one where you're asking for something from God to get something from him. But it's the fruition your every good desire for goodness and every good deed prompted by faith. Paul asks the Thessalonians, said that the message of, he prays, I'll read it, as for the other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. So, yeah, escape from the evil one, success in mission, in order that, once again, the Lord may direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. And finally, one that is a personal request, really, to Philemon. He says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your faith may be effective in deepening your understanding. Every time Paul is praying for somebody or for a group of Christians, he might pray for them that they have freedom, they may have healing, they may have whatever, but his real focus is praying for them that their faith may be deepened, that their knowledge, that word knowledge really struck me, how many times Paul actually said that your knowledge may be deepened, that your love may be deepened. So when we're praying intercession, if we're going to follow the Apostle Paul, when we're praying for people, we may be praying for a physical issue. However, if we're going to follow Paul, then we are praying that the Lord will teach, will deepen their love, will deepen their knowledge, will help them to be more effective Christians in their workplace, wherever. And going back to the Lord's Prayer, that the name of the Lord may be honored and that his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, like I said, I'm on a journey with this as well. So I'm offering this up. You must, as a congregation, you must always be evaluating what the preacher says. Don't take it like I'm speaking like the Pope. I'm not. So this is what I am, I believe the Lord has laid on my heart this week. That in our prayers, if you're praying for me, yes, pray for me for good health. Pray for me that I can have paid employment, but pray that I will learn, that I will deepen my knowledge, deepen my love for God, deepen my love for Christ, persevere in Christ, and be able to be a better witness for him in the world. Because actually, it's not so much about me in intercession, it's about him. And as I've gone through Philippians this week with the group in Switzerland, it's been incredible. Christ is the center of Paul's very life. And Paul is constantly pointing away from him to God. To Christ. And Christ to God. Because He was highly exalted and given the name that was above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Even Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Saviour, his exaltation was for the glory of God the Father. And for us, that really should be our heart of our motivation in life and in our prayer life, that people will deepen their knowledge of love of God and of Christ in order to glorify him and to see his kingdom built upon this earth. So I'm going to put all these up. So what is the central point of this? I hope that you've got it. That it is the glory of God and that his kingdom should be established. That is the ultimate motivation for intercessory prayer. Ultimate motivation. We are commanded to do so, and we do it out of love for our brothers and sisters. We do pray for our daily need, for food, for forgiveness, and for flight from evil. It was a bit shoehorned in, the flight bit, but at least I got three F's. So our daily needs, deliverance from harm. Paul prays to asks the Thessalonians to pray for him. This maturity as believers, pray for one another, not only for the physical things that are important, but these physical things, what we are going through in our lives, may deepen our love and faithfulness to God. Yes, for healing. James tells us that we should pray for those who are sick, that they should be raised up, not only for their good, but for the good of the kingdom of God. So I hope this has given you maybe a different angle on intercessory prayer. It is not mechanical. You can't put the coin in the slot and get an answer to prayer. There's a theology called the prosperity gospel that says that all you need to do is put the coin into the machine and out will pop God's answer to your prayer, and you'll be wealthy, healthy and wise. Well, probably the person who wrote the book will be, but you probably won't. But it's not about that. It's about our faithfulness to God and his kingdom. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you we can have access into your presence. You are the great and mighty creator God, who not only created every snowflake that is different, every little bug that crawls on the earth. You have not only created us and this beautiful green-blue planet as we sail through space, but you created the galaxies, you created the stars, you created the Horsehead Nebula, you created Andromeda, you created all these things. Yet we can come to you and we can bring our concerns to you. But Lord, I pray that you will enrich our prayer. You will enrich our intercessory prayer. Lord, teach us to pray as you want us to pray. Help us, Lord, to be constantly reminded that our health, our situation is to serve your kingdom, to serve the honor and glory of your name. Help us in all of these things, Lord, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, who, although was in nature God, did not count equality with God to be grasped onto, but gave himself up, poured himself out unto death. Help us, Lord, to pray in that way, that your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.